morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church on this Father's Day. If you're visiting with us today for the first time, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. Also, again, would you please refer to your bulletin for activities scheduled for this afternoon and take note of the insert in your bulletin for information and activities scheduled for this week and next Sunday. And we encourage you to even though that is in there, that insert is in the bulletin every week, and we ask you to take a good close look at those activities, and there could be some things that you're overlooking that you might be interested in. Also, there is a music camp, which I'm sure you've heard about, and this brochure is available concerning the music camp. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, those brochures are available in the church kitchen. And what we'd like to have is we should be able to close registration for this camp very soon. And also, there is another insert concerning the music camp in your bulletin. If you have any questions, please contact Mary Tomlinson. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We will be singing now the first and last stanzas of the hymns this morning, so let us begin our worship with hymn number 39, This Is My Father's World. Let us continue our worship now with hymn number 18, Now Thank We All Our God.
Thank you.
Will you please stand now as we sing hymn number 522, Our Thanks, O God, for Fathers.
Prayer, please remain standing for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we read in the book of Psalms this precious scripture by King David. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And Father, from time to time, we are under stress and under circumstances that we are down. And how precious is your word when we look on it and see that we are not the only ones. 7,000 years ago, King David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And what a great counsel he gave us, hope thou in God. So help us this morning as we worship the living God to raise our hope in him. And that whatever we do and say may bring to us a good picture in how we can hope in God. Lord, in America today is Father's Day. And we are celebrating the gift of fatherhood. It is biblical. It is in your word, and it is demanding that we men exercise the role of fatherhood with love and kindness and gentleness, with our continuous provision for our home. And so help us to look upon the scripture today and see what is a good father, what makes a good father. And Lord, thank you that you provide enough scripture for us to know what it is. Father, we are grateful for a man in Nabil, Morocco, just a few minutes ago. He went into the computer and he asked the question, what is this? He was in our webpage in English. And as I wrote to him in French and in Arab, and he started talking. First time he heard about Christianity, he's learning English and he's listening now. Bless, O God, Bara, a fellow and Nabil, Morocco. And bless those who are everywhere listening in Baltimore, in New Jersey, northern New York area, here in California, everywhere. Bless the people who listen over the radio and over the internet by the miracle of those airwaves. Father, we have missionaries also, and today, again, we remind ourselves of those families who are away from America or in America, doing the same thing that we do, trying to tell people that God is real. Fred and Harold Lewis, he's sick. He was in Siberia, and he's sick now in Oregon. And there is a little hope of recovery, and we pray for that. Carol and Ruth Knott in Seville, Spain. Eusebio and Marisa Perez in Malaga, Spain. David and Denise Rode in Papua, New Guinea. Giovanni and Barbara Avendano in Guatemala, Central America. The South Valley Pregnancy Care Center that we support here in Gilroy, California. The Christian Athletic Association in San Jose, California. Daniel and Miriam Lacey, as Daniel is on the race today in Oregon. Bless him and give Miriam strength to be with him in that race. And Father, for Martha Ferretti with the Drug Addict Center in Argentina. Thank you, Lord. Together with our ministry here in California, we have an extended ministry over the airways and an extended ministry with families who dedicate their life to share the gospel and the hope in God with other people. Bless us as we proceed. May this be a great experience in our life, that we leave the place knowing that Christ is real and that there is hope in our life. And there is always an opportunity to make a correction and to make it right. And may the love of Christ be shared so well that we all leave here knowing that whether we agree or disagree, we have to leave this place knowing that the love of God is the key to our life. Lord, this church has been faithful Sunday after Sunday, and they provide for the ministry. So bless the offering and bless the giver. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please. Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Psalms. If you're using the Bible provided in the pew, please turn to page 354. We will be reading Psalm 37, verses 1 through 7. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 37, verses 1 through 7. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father, how marvelous it is to be able to call you Father. When we consider your love and the great works you did in Christ to make it possible for sinners such as we to be adopted into your family, we can only fall on our faces in gratitude. We love you because you first loved us. We have great joy and confidence because we know that as the righteous judge of all the universe, you have revealed yourself as a God of love, and as believers, we are the objects of that love, and all that despite our unworthiness. We pray now for our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to teach us from your word. We ask that you would bless him as he rightly divides the word of truth, and bless us with understanding that we may apply these truths every day. We pray also for those listening on the radio and internet and tape and CD, and especially for those who do not know you, that they may believe the gospel and be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated?
Thank you, my brother. And just before we look upon the Word of God and to a very practical title and what makes a good father, I'm going to take one microphone out of here so that you can see me better. And I want to, in this occasion, to make mention of two things. One, our brother Jack Kazanjian took 2 weeks vacation and came sick. So we will not allow him to take 2 weeks again. All right? And he's listening now, so he knows. And when I was last year at this time in England, I was in the home of the Yates family, and the Yates family is with here today. So let's give a good hand. Will you stand, please? All right. Thank you very much. And now we go to our meditation today. Father's Day. Yesterday we have a gorgeous father and son breakfast. So much people coming in that we run out of place in the merry calendar, and we had to add table after table. And I'm glad you came, and I'm glad we celebrate that union of love between a father and a son. I thought I want to be very practical today in talking to you about fathers. So ahead of time, 2 months ago, I contacted the elementary schools here and in Gilroy, and I asked permission to ask a question to the first grade students about what makes a good dad. And so the teachers agreed to that, and so I got over 300 letters back here in our church, and I selected some of them who you will enjoy to hear, all right? What makes a good dad from the schools in Gilroy and here in Morgan Hill? Number one, a good dad knows everything, like how to tie shoes and drive a car. That's very good. That's the law of observation, is that right? That's very good. Now, number two, what makes a good dad is really smart. He's really smart. He even knows where the wind goes after he blows through the trees. So maybe the father and son, whatever reason, they have a relation in that way. What makes a good dad? The other student said, has a forgiven heart, for I make a mess in my home. All right, so that's a confessing boy, all right? All right, here a girl wrote and said, what makes a good dad is loaded with patience, and patience. So he probably don't need it, but just in case I make a problem. All right. Boy, they're smart, all right? They're smart. All right, number five, what makes a good dad has a comfortable laugh and a big laugh. You understand about that, don't you? They tell me. All right. The teacher said, I almost left out the best part. And she said to me, a good dad has really strong arms to catch me when I fall. And so that's what they said, the teacher. So how wonderful it is that she remember her times with her dad. And so my visit with the school has been a pleasure and a wonder of my presence. Of course, they don't accept the pastor, but they accept the psychologist. So I have the two arms to go through. But it's so good to know that America is not so bad as we think, all right? As we think. Teachers are doing a great work in trying to relay to the students a godly life in spite of what we hear, little here and a little there. I think the television brings only the bad news, and that's what we know about America. But just visit the schools and you will be glad you live in America. Now back to the Bible. What makes a good dad? I have three ideas or three points for you to consider. The number one is in Psalm 78, verses 5 to 7, page 366, if you are using the Bible, that is in the pew. And the first point is this. A good dad makes godly decisions. A good dad makes godly decisions. Look at what the Bible says. Psalm 78, verse 5 and 7. Reading in the King James said that they may set their hope in God, King David is writing, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Excuse me, I'm reading wrong. I'm going to read from verse 5. Verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. You know, I'm retranslating the Bible in English, the I understand it, and I'm going to read for you my translation on these verses. Because, you know, it's not what translation you have, it's what translation you understand, don't you? When you communicate in language, it's not how deep and profound you speak, it's how you speak so the people understand what you said. All right? Here it is. You look in verse 5, and I translate it this way. The Lord made an agreement with Jacob and gave the teachings to Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children. Then their children will know them, even their children not yet born, and they will tell their children so that they would all trust God and would not forget what he had done, but would obey. Now that's a clear picture of what God is saying in the Hebrew language. Fathering a child for many is not difficult, but being a father is. It's the first and most important decision of fathers to make a conscious choice to be
a father. The decision to be a father is not just a delivery room decision. It is a daily decision. A century ago, as you look in the books of history, that's where on-site parents working the farm or running the family store. And the children spend a great time alongside their parents, working together, father and son. But in our modern culture, employment distance most dad from their kids. Some days leave home before the children are awake. Others arrive home long after the kids are in bed. Consequently, it is possible, even common, for father to forget about fathering. They are father because they just gave birth to that child through his wife, but they forgot about being fathers. Through the day, every day, dad need to renew their dad decision. Will I attend this convention? Is this meeting essential? Can I rearrange these appointments to get home earlier? On the way home from work, dad have to decide to take off the hat and put the daddy hat. It's a decision to manage his time carefully, reconciling work with the priority of the family, and we many times don't think about it. Being a good dad means making tough, sacrificial decisions with yourself. Decisions that tell our children what is important to us. Looking in the archives of great people in America, I found in the book Achieving Success Without Failing this great statement. Paul Volcker, a great insurance man, described the decision of an insurance executive. Speaking at a businessman convention, the man stressed the importance of being a father first to this convention, to the insurance people. The man's daughter was on the audience of the whole package in Las Vegas. In the middle of his talk, he turned to her, to his daughter, and he asked, "Sweetheart, do you remember the time I won the $1 million round table 3 years on the roll?" And she stood up and said, "No, Dad, I don't have the guess idea what you're talking about." Then he asked her, "Well, do you remember when we used to have those Dairy Queen dates between you and me?" And she said, "Oh, yes, I remember those." See, when this man turned to the audience to make the point that daughters don't remember when you sell $1 million worth of insurance, but they do remember when you put time for your children. I looked in the Bible and I said, which father I pull out? Yesterday, we pulled two fathers to talk a little bit about how they influenced their people. And I shared with the men and their sons how those fathers were men of influence. And as I hear from the congregation that were here yesterday, that some of you were influenced by your parents and you have no the guess idea. But I looked your behavior and I looked what you do and I know that something went on in your family trade. And yesterday, some of you spell out that. And that was so rewarding to me to see that fathers still have an influence. But which father I pull today for you? Of all the fathers in the Bible, one stands for his decision to be a godly father. Now, he was not a natural father. He consciously decided to be an adoptive father of an orphan cousin. You know what I'm talking about. Esther. He could be called the father of courage, because he instilled this trait of courage in his adopted daughter. Do you remember the story of Esther? If you don't, listen carefully. I'm going to give you a briefing about it, and then I'm going to ask you to turn to Esther chapter 4, which is page 324, so you have it ready when I'm going to share that with you. Esther in chapter 4 will be our scripture to read, and that will help you to understand what is it, page 324. And it will help you tremendously to understand the situation. But let me give you a briefing on the book of Esther. The small book of Esther revealed the story of the beautiful Jewish girl whose clever courage saved the nation of Israel. Here is somebody that have, by her beauty, she was a knockout, we say in Spanish. When she walked in, you say, oh, wow. That's what she was. Maybe 18, maybe 19. And God used that to his glory. Mordecai was her uncle and raised his adopted daughter to take a stand at the right time to do the right thing in the middle of the Arab nation. Because of her beauty, Esther becomes queen of Persia. Remember that King Ahasuerus was proud of his wife, and the Arabs are really proud of having a beautiful woman as his wife, and will show the women to everybody. And when he asked his wife to show herself to the other kings, she refused it. And the king divorced her. And he commanded his servants to look for a good-looking girl. And by, here is Esther. Because of her beauty, Esther becomes queen of Persia. And Mordecai wisely advises her to conceal her heritage from King Ahasuerus. She must be so beautiful that this Arab king, actually it was a Persian king, this Persian king doesn't know that he's talking to a Jewish girl. He was completely blind. And you might know when you were 18, 19, you were knocked out by a girl. You don't think anything. I was, and my mother said, don't you know that family? Forget about the family. I like the girl. When Mordecai refuses, Mordecai trained this girl. He advised her, and she concealed her heritage. When Mordecai refused to bow down to the king officer, Haman, remember? He placed himself in jeopardy because of his conviction. He would bow before no one other than Jehovah God. As a result, Hannah, the chief general of King Ahasuerus, conspired to destroy not only Mordecai, but he said, God help me, I will destroy all the Jewish people, worse than Hitler. I love to read, and I read history. But when you read the Bible entirely, there are things in the Bible that the worst the people do maybe two centuries ago. Well, Mordecai then urges Esther to appeal to the king on behalf of Israel. And look now in chapter 4 of Esther, in verse 14, what he says to Esther. Esther chapter 4, verse 14. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jew from another place. He was a great believer, don't we? But you and your father's house will perish. Yet, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time like this? He tells Esther, as a father, he counseled, darling, this is a tough situation. You are put in the worst situation you ever will live in your life. But who knows, he says, if God have raised you for such a time like this. What a great counsel. What a great counsel. Esther, When I read that, I said, I want to see what the girl said. One thing is to say it from outside. I'm outside and I'm telling you have to be good. But if you are no good, you're going to die. And possibly if you are good, even you're going to die. Another thing is to be in the place, all right? So I said, I wonder what this girl is going to do, a giant woman in the Bible. Look in verse 16. Esther must have trusted Mordecai greatly, for she determined to stand before the king and for her people. Look at what she said. Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan, that's the capital outside Persia, and fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king. She's going to have a time of prayer. She's going to have a time of getting herself outside this world. She's not going to eat. She's going to dedicate herself to prayer. And look at what she said. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Is that a woman? You take your hat on a woman like that. All right? It is unlawful for a woman to talk to an Arab king, even if it's his wife, to have permission of the court. I don't know what they do when they go home, but I tell you, it's very rare for us. We have no idea. But a wife, you know, is something glorious. Whatever she wants, she get it. But it has to have certain protocols. And so she knows that. And she takes the stand in verse 16 and she says, if I die, if I perish, or if I die, I die. You know the story as the plot twists and turns. Mordecai and the Jew nation are saved. And Haman, the chief executive officer of the army, is executed by King Ahasuerus. Now, usually, when you pick up a book, a commentary, and you read about Esther, we study the story of Esther, and we see her strength and devotion to her people. But God used someone else in this story to accomplish that purpose. God used a faithful father, a father who impressed a young daughter to have courage and stand in your convictions. That's much better than money. At the right time, Esther did the right thing because she had been raised by a godly adopted father. Is not that beautiful? A father who knew that the decision he will make as his daughter grew will help her learn to make godly decisions later in life. In other words, a daughter is watching the father, and as he makes godly decisions, she said, I want something like that. I hope that you as a father have that kind of idea. I will treat my wife like a queen. Never raise my voice. My children will never hear me raise my voice to my wife. My children will see me providing. My children will see making decisions that enhance the environment of my home. I will make everything possible so that my home and my wife will be the queen of my life, and I just be the frame in the picture. You know, when we dance the tango, of course it's not the tango, it's, oh, now you think I'm a sinner, but when we dance the tango, we say this, there's a clue in this, and it's this. When you dance, then you, the man, are the frame. The woman is the picture. She had to be the show. And when you're a father, you are just the frame. Your wife and your children are the show and the picture. And you give them, little by little, the wisdom of God. By making godless decisions, they learn. They learn. They learn in life. Because comes a time, the children move out. And whatever you taught is hopeful, stay in them. But you know what stays in them is what you did. Not so much what you say, but what you did. So number one, a good father, a good dad makes godly decisions. Number two, a good dad treasures his children. Will you turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, page 690. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. And if you are using the Bible that is provided for you, it's on page 690. Ephesians chapter 6, not chapter 4. Chapter 6 and verse 4. Look at what the Bible said. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. You fathers, do not make your children angry, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. You can say that in this way. But raise them with the training and teaching of the Lord. A good dad treasures his children. As I looked at that verse, I said, now I understand what God said about Jesus. Now I do understand how God the Father treats Jesus the Son. And I want to give you a glimpse quickly. Ephesians 6:4 explains so much about how God the Father treats Jesus. It explained the proclamation of the angels to the shepherds outside Bethlehem. A proud father announcing the birth of a son. Let's move our Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And you will have a great idea. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 10 to 14, page 599. A proud father announcing the birth of a son. Look at what the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and in verse 10. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloth lying in a manger. And suddenly there was within the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. And look at what they said. Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, goodwill toward man. You see that? Here's a godly father. Here's a godly father. Here's God our Father saying good things about his son. Secondly, if you go to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, page 562, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, page 562, here you have a proud father who was endorsing his son's faith, encouraging his son in the decisions of being baptized. The Bible said in verse 16, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. He's saying to the multitude, here is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. He was so proud, he's endorsing his Son. And Father, that's what we need to do with our children. That's our part in our children. We need to be proud when we have a son, but then or a daughter. But then we need to be encouraging them through life. Through life. Through life. And still today, meeting and I chat, and so I said, well, darling, this is good. And you know, it makes sense when a daughter receives an endorsement from the father. You need to treasure your children like it's something precious. Precious. I want you to turn to Matthew 17. And then you have a proud father who spoke to give Jesus the backup for his work. In Matthew 17, you have the transfiguration. And in verses 1 to 5, you have this story, how Jesus transfigured himself in God. The Bible said, now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. And then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And what the voice said, hear him. Encourage his ministry. My friend, God the Father, in an amazing way, God the Father is a good father. He treasured his son. How many times we have saying to somebody, now listen to my son, he right. Or listen to my son, he's doing well. Treasuring our children. Not only having children, but treasuring our children. I watch our children. I watch the parents here. And I know I have a church who's godly. Because the parents, the men of our church, treasure our children. Treasure our children. By watching them, I don't know what they said, but they listen. They listen. And when I see a father in our church, in a parking lot, or in a coffee shop, or in a jack-in-the-box, when I see a father listening to their children, bring joy to my heart. Because, you know, that impression, that security of a child, that union of a child with a father is a union of ourselves with God the Father, that we can talk to him all the time. But we need to practice here on earth. Whatever is in our head, we need to practice. Thank you, man, for being so godly. So a good father makes godly decisions. A good father treasures his children. Finally, a good father is there for his children. A good father is there for his children. We're going to jump all over the Bible, see if I have time for all this scripture. A good father is there for his children to tell them about God. Let's go to the fifth book of the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 6, please. In verse 4, that is page 121. Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse 4 to 9. A good father, then, is there for their children to tell them about God. Look at what the Bible says. This is Moses speaking. God and Moses have final meetings in Deuteronomy. And in chapter 6, verse 4, he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. God is talking to the people. You shall teach them, that's your children, diligently to your children. And shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you raise it up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. In other words, you fathers should be there for your children to tell them about God. And then never is too young. There are things that I watch. My service comes when I finish. I watch you. And I, in another church years ago, 34 years ago, I was 1 year pastor. And I wrote the book of Psalms in detail and taught that church from morning. The meetings were 4 hours. So imagine how much I taught. We drink coffee and keep on teaching. And those people were really filled with the scripture. And I watched them. And I know a young fellow, the director of the railroad track of the United States of America was there with his little boy. How was he? Five or something. And I said, I wonder, if this guy is so rich and so famous, listen to me. So I just walk outside. We don't have a building. We have a school. And we fill the whole school in the morning. And as I walk out in Newark, California, he looked, it was night, and the moon was full. And he said to his son, "Come on, son, look, God turned on the flashlight." Isn't that great? God turned on the flashlight. A great communicator. Teaching his children that even the simplicity of seeing the moon is part of God's plan in our life. A good dad is there for his children to tell them about God and then to correct them. Sometimes fathers leave these to their mothers. Bad on you. And then blame their mothers because the children do not behave. Isn't that terrible? Look at what the Bible says. Proverbs. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. And let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. All right? Proverbs chapter 3. And look at verse 11 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11 and verse 12. My son, do not despise the discipline of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects just as a father the son in whom he delights. A good father is there for his children to correct them when it's needed. Don't leave that to your wife. At my house where I was raised, my mother had an agenda. And in that agenda, she wrote everything I did wrong. So when my father came in, I like my father because he talks to me. My mother, my father talked to me. So he and I would go to a room, and I knew it was time to review what I did. It was my father who took the initiative. And I learned that the father takes the responsibility because he did take the responsibility to talk to me. A good dad, a good father, is there for his children to tell them about God, to correct them when it is needed, and to train them. You are in Proverbs. Go to chapter 22 and verse 6. Don't wait until they come here to church to learn about the Bible. You train them about the Bible in your home. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, page 397. Look at what the Bible says. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Fantastic. Fantastic. Remarkable. You never maybe had the pleasure to see it. One time, one man shook my hand 30 years ago. He said, "Now I know God." I said, "Can you tell me why?" And remember that fellow in Newark, California? He said, "Will you tell me why?" He said, "Yes. My grandmother told me 70 years ago, I made a mess of my life. Now came to senses. I'm reading the Bible. And I remember," he said, "what my grandmother told me." My friend, never you waste your time. You train your children. You teach your children and leave your hands off. Let them have their own personality. Let them have their own way. Respect the way they are. I believe in unity without uniformity, you know. That's very important. A good dad is there for his children to train them. And finally, a good dad is there for his children to provide for them. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. This is very important. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14. A good dad is there for his children to provide for them. 2 Corinthians 12, 14. Now for the third time, I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burdensome to you, for I do not seek yours but you. For the children are not to lay up or to provide for the parents, but the parents for the children. Amazing. And I guarantee to you, if you're a good father, even though they're married, you're still providing. You're still providing. They maybe need this extra. They maybe need the other. And I told my Daniel, I said, "Daniel, whatever you have a need, I'm the first to know. And if I can do it, I do it." And he grew up in a different home, different style. And my daughter said, "No, when my daddy said it right, no, I cannot do that." "No, don't be so proud. Don't ask me. You need something. And because you are so proud, you don't ask me. Because see, if I give you my daughter to be married, which is everything I have in my life, then I give you everything." And he was shocked. It was Jack. And so we have a great relationship. When he has something, a need, there is something I will not provide for you, is for your racing car. I said, but the rest of the story is okay. And he work and have extra. So you talk to your wife, how are you going to arrange for money for your racing car? But the rest, I'm here for you. Well, what do we learn today? What makes a good dad? Not only he knows how to tie the shoes, but a good father makes a godly decision. A good father treasures his children and his home. And a good father is there for his children. If we had to put everything in one verse of the Bible, if we had to make the whole sermon in one nutshell, it is found in Psalm 37 and verse 5 that our brother read for us before the service. In chapter 37 of the book of Psalms, page 354, in verse 5, the Bible says this, commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring to pass. Commit your way unto the Lord. Fathers, in order to be a good father, we need to commit our way unto the Lord. Have a clear conscience. That from early in the morning to late at night, whether you talk business, whether you talk to your wife, whether you talk to your children, whatever you talk, you are talking because you are committed to do something that the Lord wants you to do. I never found, as I read the Bible so many times, I never found that the Bible counsel you to do something wrong. Rather, the Bible leads you to God. If you have no God in your life, you cannot commit yourself to God, all right? Well, it's an easy way. You read the scripture. You know where the scriptures end? In God. The scripture doesn't end in a Baptist church or in a Catholic church or in a Protestant church. The scripture ends in God. I just can't tolerate all these names that we put on together. The scripture ends in God. And if you cannot commit to your family, because you cannot commit yourself to God. You don't know where God is. It's here. It's in the Bible. Just take half hour a day and read it. Start where the Bible started in Genesis and keep on reading. There are things that are crazy for you. Don't worry about it. Keep on reading. One day you understand it. You know, when I read the book, I read it first. Then I read it a second time. Then the third time, I read it with a piece of paper. Then I get another book. Read the Bible and find God. And then commit your life to God. And then you're going to be a good father. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you again for the goodness and the beauty and the wonders of your love to us. Thank you for the lessons that we receive in life. And thank you for the occasion that we remind ourselves. We remind ourselves of who we are and the duties and responsibilities that are ours today as fathers. Lord, from depth in my heart, I want to thank you for the men of our church who have taken a stand to be godly and to be committed to you. And for those that cannot commit to you because they have no God, oh, Father, I pray that as they read the Bible, they may find a tremendous loving God waiting for them. In Jesus we pray, amen.
May I know thy understanding, Lord.
the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord may his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In Jesus we pray. Amen.